Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about moving with or for a nanny family. And to do that, I've brought on a wonderful guest who I connected with on Facebook and some of the nanny groups first, and we got to chatting, and then she was in Chicago, and so she came on to talk about this. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. So Andrea also did our discipline episode. Andrea Murphy. I didn't say your full name.
You didn't, but that's okay.
I want everyone to know. Andrea Murphy
I'm
is my
Andrea
guest.
Andrea Murphy.
Andrea was also on our discipline episode a few weeks ago, and now is back to talk about moving with or for a nanny family. So before we get started, I would love to hear a little bit about your background, especially when it comes to moving, because I believe you've done it quite a bit.
I have moved quite a bit since I got out of the Army in 2008, and I've moved. This will be my ninth move.
Oh, wow.
Since then. So bit of a gypsy spirit, I guess.
Yeah. How many different cities?
Let's see. I moved Kansas to Wyoming, Wyoming to South Carolina, South Carolina to Chicago, Chicago to Wyoming, Wyoming to Michigan, Michigan to Oregon, Oregon to Southern California, Southern California to Northern California, and now Northern California to Florida.
Wow. So not even just like, I'm moving to a different neighborhood. Those are cross-continental moves.
Pretty decent moves, yeah.
Yeah. Impressive. Thanks. So, a little bit of background about your current move that you're doing right now.
I am moving for actually my very first nanny family. I left them because they were moving to Florida, mm-hmm. and I moved up to the San Francisco area, and with my nanny family that I just left, it just was kind of time to move on, and it worked out timing wise that this family was looking for a nanny, so they asked me to come and nanny for them again, and the timing just kind of worked out, and I thought, I guess I'm moving to Florida. And here we go.
Yep. And then you stopped in Chicago,
to do your podcast.
And then you're on your way to bright, sunny Florida.
Yes.
Quite a different vibe there.
A little bit. Yeah.
But very exciting.
Very exciting.
So as you set up that move and talked to the family, did you all create a contract of any kind for that move?
Right now we have a verbal contract, and we'll mm-hmm. do, since I across the country, we'll sit down and basically put that in writing and make sure we're all on the same page. One thing that is so important in any family, but especially if you're moving, is to put in a trial period clause that says in 3 months or 6 months or however long you think you need to adjust, if you are miserable, that you can get out of it.
Yes.
It's just because you move, even if you move across the country, even if you move across the country to be a live-in nanny, right, you can still get out of it. If you're miserable, then you need to move on. Nobody needs a miserable nanny.
Right. That's not a service to yourself, and it's not a service to your nanny kids or your nanny family.
Absolutely.
If you are unhappy, and that's something that, because I posted on some of the nanny groups on Facebook just to get a wider range of opinions, because it's not something that I've ever done. I've never moved with or for a nanny family. But something that I kind of heard time and time again was that if you are miserable, it's okay to get out of it, because like we just said, it's not a service to you or the nanny family to stick around in something, and it can have nothing to do with your nanny family, even if it's right, a really, really great family, but you just don't fit in that area very well.
Right. If you don't adjust well, or whatever the case is, or maybe it is your nanny family.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And it's so important to put that clause in there, not only for you, but also for them, so they know it's a possibility in 6 months that we may lose our nanny. So you're not blindsiding them. Even
right,
if everything seems wonderful and you just know without a doubt, no, I'm never going to leave, I'm going to mm-hmm. love it, just put it in there anyway. That, you know, when we start a new family, we always have a trial period, and usually it's a month or 2 months or whatever it is. But of course, if you're moving
right,
long distance, you're going to need a little longer trial period, but it's not permanent. It doesn't have to be permanent.
Right.
You're not locked into this situation just because you moved for it.
Yes. And I think having that end date, at least for me personally, would help give me peace of mind. But it also makes sure that you have that talk again, so that it doesn't yes. just go on and on and on. Because I know sometimes when you're nannying, given if you're a live-in nanny, it might be slightly different. But sometimes that 15-minute crossover is not long enough to have a deep discussion about anything. And so you've got to schedule time where the kids aren't trying to tell their parents about their day and things like that. You've got to schedule a time that you can sit down with the parents and really have a heart-to-heart chat. And I think having it in that contract of like in 6 months or, you know,
right. That's
four
a
months.
Really good point to get it on the calendar, physically a day, put
yeah.
it on the calendar that at 12 o'clock, we are all going to sit down and talk about this. So then you don't even have to worry about bringing it up. Oh,
right.
Did they remember? How do I approach this? It's already there. And hopefully, best case scenario, you'll sit down and say, yeah, everything's great. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Meeting over. But if you have that built in, it's just going to be easier if that situation arises. Which
yes.
it can. You don't. You just don't know.
And even if it's, I want to stay and I want to continue to be your nanny, but here are some things in the first 6 months that didn't work for me. Some smaller
right.
things. I think that can be really helpful and important and is naturally built into that conversation.
Right. I think that's a good point. A good idea for anybody to do
mm-hmm.
is to just build in those little, you know, like quarterly.
Check-ins.
Can we sit down and talk regardless of if there's an issue or not? Let's just make sure we're on the same page and regroup, because it's hard to bring up, hey, can we sit down and talk? That's hard and that's uncomfortable. So just build it in there.
Yes, I completely agree. So you've already worked with this family, so that is probably comforting to you. But what were some things that you thought about or considered before you said yes to moving across the country?
Well, first I considered Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I hear it's pretty humid there.
Yep. Andrea and I both have curly hair, so it's even a bigger
look
issue.
Look out. It's going to be great. I have only been there once. And so that's hard too when you're moving to a new area completely, because there's no way to know if you're going to get adjusted until right. you're there. So
right.
a big, big part of this is just taking a blind leap. And I love this family. I'm comfortable with this family. And I would not move across the country for any other family, probably. I
right.
think regardless of how the city may be or how the situation will be, I know that I love doing life with them. And one of the biggest considerations was my new mom boss. Mm-hmm. She brings me up to a parent level.
Right.
Which is the nanny dream.
Yes.
A lot of us know that we fight that battle of, I'm not trying to replace you. I'm not trying to replace you. I'm not trying to replace you. And end up getting, you know, there's that friction and you end up getting pushed down further instead of brought up to, hey, now you have another parent on the parenting staff.
Right.
Instead of, well, there's that lady over there who kind of is in charge sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's huge. And that is, like I said, that's the nanny dream to
yeah.
be up on that level where, you know, your background and your experience is appreciated and mm-hmm. is welcomed. It just is a game changer.
Yes. Yeah. Being part of the village.
Yes.
Of It Takes a Village.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's such an interesting point that I hadn't thought about, but that would make a big difference, especially if you are going to be a live-in.
Right.
I think that is key, because it's so much more likely that all three of you will be interacting with the kids at the same time. Right. For a lot of nannies, it's, you know, 15 minutes with one parent at transition times. But as a live-in, you know, you're going to be having dinner and
right.
things like that. And so being considered part of that village or the parent level would be really, really important.
Yeah, it's really amazing how much of the tension is removed with that step, and everything goes smoothly. And it's obviously still parents have the final say. That
right.
is, you know, that's,
yes.
that's how it should be, and that's still how it is. But to not have to worry about saying, hey, I think that that strap on the car seat needs to go a little higher, because if it's down here and there's an accident, it can push his abdomen, whatever. Them not taking that as a personal affront. Them
yes.
taking that as, oh, I didn't know that. Great.
Yeah.
Not, you know, if you kind of take all that like envy and jealousy and tension out of it, and then you just have three people raising kids, which is just lovely.
That is lovely. So you said that you are going to be a live-in, but having moved to so many different cities, I bet that you have advice for nannies that might not be live-ins but are moving for their nanny family on finding an apartment or a house to live in a new city.
Sure. I have done both, where I have a place set up before I go.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive into the city and I have a place, and I have done it where I have packed up my life and driven to a city. I have no place. I have to find it and stay in a hotel until I do find it. And I've done where I've moved and just crashed on a friend's couch while I find a place. So it really can be done anyway. The thing that makes me nervous about finding an apartment beforehand is signing a lease beforehand, before you get out there and see it, because you maybe don't know what kind of neighborhood it is, and you
right.
may end up in a place where you don't feel safe, and that's not comforting, to come home to a place you don't mm-hmm. feel safe. So I would recommend don't sign anything. Goodness gracious, don't sign anything before
right.
you get there. But if you know somebody and you can just crash on someone's couch while you're looking for a place, and that saves you some money, or if you just, you know, get a hotel and just once you're in the area, then go and find a place that way.
Yeah. And I also think that in that original talking to your nanny family about how things are going to go, negotiate that your nanny family will be in charge of helping you.
Right.
Because if you are moving, if the reason that you are relocating is for that nanny family, it is on them to help you find a place to live. If they don't have accommodations for you to be a live-in nanny, then they need to help you find a place to live.
Absolutely.
And if you are moving for a family that is already established in a city, then they will have more information about the neighborhoods and the safety and things like that, because they want their nanny to be safe.
Absolutely. They totally have your best interest and they want you happy, so you'll stay and be their nannies.
Exactly. So for you, is your nanny family helping cover moving costs?
Yes. So how we figured it out is we're all military background, mm-hmm. and the military pays when you move, when you pack up your stuff and move, they pay you a certain amount. So we just did the calculation from San Francisco to Orlando, and that's what they paid.
Okay.
Which was very generous.
Yeah.
I don't know how, I mean, that's just how we did it. I assume that's not the standard.
Right.
But I definitely think they are responsible for moving costs, if not all, then at least a good portion of it if you're moving for them, because moving is expensive. It's not cheap.
No, it's not. And a lot of times when you are getting a new place to stay, if you're not a live-in nanny in a new city, you have to pay like first and last month's rent or a deposit or some sort of down payment. And so having a stipend to help with moving costs, at the very least a stipend, if not all the way covered.
Right. I agree. Absolutely.
It's something important to think about before you take that leap.
Yes. And I think you really just need to realize that it is a leap. It's a risk. And there's no way you're going to know how it's going to be as long as you have that in your contract that, okay, I can leave in 3 months if I need to. Or if it's really awful and this was a mistake, I should not have done this, then you can walk away at any time if you don't feel safe, if you
Yes.
don't feel comfortable, if you find yourself in a new city where it's just not your place, it's not your home, then move.
Yes.
Moving is a big deal, but also it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Pack up your stuff, try somewhere else.
Yes. And on one of the nanny groups, one of the main people that I was kind of having a conversation to get a feel was, and I hope I am saying her name right, Karine. I'm not even going to attempt her last name. She's Dutch. And she told me on Facebook, she was like, I can try to help you phonetically say it, but because you speak English as your first language, you can't make the sounds properly. So Karine is all you get.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. But she was saying that when she was thinking about, because she moved from the Netherlands to London for her nanny family, and when she was thinking about debating whether or not that was something she wanted to do, she really framed it as a new chapter in her life and an adventure instead of trying to hold on to what she did have when she lived in the Netherlands, trying to think about all of the new stuff and letting go of, you know, the old chapter of her life.
That's so important.
Yeah. And she said framing it that way really helped her. And she had very positive things to say about moving for her nanny family, or for a nanny family. She also said that she wrote it in her contract, or that the family chose to write it, that she got to go back home to the Netherlands because her boyfriend still lived there. So twice a month, Her nanny family paid for her to go visit her boyfriend. And now her boyfriend is moving to London as well.
Wow, that's great. So you can put anything in a contract.
Exactly.
As long as people agree to it.
Yeah. You know? And really focusing on what's important to you and making sure that does end up in your contract, I think is especially important if you are taking this big leap.
Right. You have to advocate for yourself so specifically, even more specifically than you think you do.
Yes.
I mean, you can't be too specific. If there's something that is going to make you happy, like, I will move if you make sure that there is always Red Bull in your refrigerator at all times, then put it in your contract.
Exactly.
I don't drink Red Bull, but I do drink energy drinks.
Sometimes as a nanny, we gotta.
Yes, we need those wings. Whatever you think is important to you, put it in your contract.
Yeah.
And you will be surprised. Sometimes they will say, I'm sorry, we're not going to agree to that. And then you just have to sit down and have that negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that comfortable, but you will be happier. Contract, contract, contract.
Yes.
And also contract.
And something for your situation specifically, but I think it applies to a lot of nannies, is you have a dog. So thinking about that if you're moving, because I think a lot of nannies would think, oh, well, then I could never move, or I can never be a live-in. But if your nanny family is open to that idea, then you can.
Right. Yeah. Anything. Anything is possible. Yes, my dog, we have been FaceTiming with the kids. They're so excited. They can't wait for their dog, which is great. And she's a really good traveler. She just sleeps. So she's moved times in the last.
Yeah.
Actually, I got her in Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's from Chicago. So maybe she's seven times. Yeah.
So things like that. And just, I think, preparation and really checking in with yourself is super important before you start any nannying job, but especially if you're going to be moving, really thinking about what is important. Also, making a list of deal breakers is something that I saw.
That's a good one.
And really wrestling with those things of what would make this not workable for me, and making sure you talk those things out before you make that move.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Well, you've got to drive.
I have plenty of time to figure out my deal breakers.
Exactly. And that's something that I try to do before any new family. But I think that before you move, just making a list of deal breakers. And then also something that we've kind of already discussed, but just to reiterate it, know that nothing is permanent.
Yes.
So if you get there and you hate it, it's okay. Because some people wrote on some of the Facebook groups that they were like, it was the worst decision I ever made, and I went back to my old way of life.
Right. And that's fine. It's not anything you can't undo.
Yeah.
You can pack up and move back. Pack up and move somewhere else. I think it is important to have, you know, at least, I'm going to stay at least 3 months, 60 days, whatever it is, you know, give it the old college try.
Yes.
But if it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to back to the move from the Netherlands to London, you said, okay. And she said, frame it like a new chapter. I think that is, that's so, so important to kind of let go of your memories, especially if it's like a holiday or something that's important. I've spent many, many holidays away from home. And when I first started, it was like, this is different. I hate it. This is awful. But if you frame it different, like, I know this is different. This is a new house. This is a new city. It's not the same. This is a new coffee shop. It's not the same. You just let that go and sever those ties and enjoy, embrace that experience. I think that will be a game changer.
I totally agree. So as you have moved so many times, do you have advice for how to whittle down your stuff to the essentials?
Yes, I do. I have always just packed everything up in my car. Mm-hmm. And what doesn't fit in my car
doesn't go.
And I just have a little car. I don't have a SUV or anything. But this last time, I was pretty settled in mm-hmm. in the Bay Area, and I had thought I was going to be there long term. So I had accumulated some right. things, which normally I don't do. I stay mobile. But I thought I was going to be there for a while. So I had way too much stuff to go. And I listened to the audiobook, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of who it's by.
Is that Marie Kondo or
yes.
whatever her name is?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly the one. And it was some of those things in there are so silly.
Right. Like, does it bring you joy?
Tell your clothes goodbye. But to actually like put your hands on everything you own, and is this a good feeling? Not just this isn't a bad feeling, you know,
right?
Or it's not broken, so I might as well keep it. And you would be surprised. I was shocked how much I got rid of gladly. Was
right.
like, no, I have no feelings towards that. So you don't go. The hard part was my bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
It's always sad to say goodbye to books. But I did narrow it down. And then I just went and donated all the books to the lending libraries.
Yes.
I looked up and found, I mean, probably 30 lending libraries and just went and got rid of those.
Yeah.
So it can be done. And I can see out all of my windows in my car.
Wow. That is so. And you're traveling with a dog. So.
And I'm traveling with a dog. So, I mean, it cut down so much clutter. And I think it's important to think ahead when you're packing up your stuff. Think ahead to your space that you will be unpacking your stuff. Do you want to deal with that box of stuff you don't ever look at?
Right.
Do you want to have to find a space for that? And if you don't, then maybe now's the time to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I think you'll be surprised how much you're glad to get rid of.
Yeah. Something that I have done in my limited moving from Knoxville to Chicago and then around the city of Chicago is I've done the trick where you put hangers backwards at the beginning of the year or when you move into a new space. And then a year later, any hangers that are still backwards. Oh, so when you wear an item of clothing, I forgot a step. So you turn all the hangers backwards. When you wear an item of clothing, you make that hanger face forward when you put that item back. And so that helps because then at the end of the year, if any hangers are left backwards, you can actually see that they are still backwards and you haven't worn it in a year. Right. And then you can analyze, because there are, you know, some dresses or whatever
right.
that are for like very special occasions. Like I didn't go to a gala this year. but for the most part, that gives you a really good idea of things that you didn't wear for a whole year. So you probably don't need anymore.
Right. You know, I actually had just started that. I had just turned around all my hangers probably maybe a month before. And the decision to move was not a slow one.
Right.
It was very, very fast. It was like a whirlwind. And I had to get rid of my stuff very quickly and pack up and move very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very glad to not have a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's so useful. Us talking about this is making me want to spring clean.
Yeah.
When you move to a new city, there's certainly a learning curve of being in a new city, like we talked about, which neighborhoods are the safest and things like that, but also classes to take your little ones to or where you can meet friends as an adult.
Right.
Do you have any advice about just learning to navigate a new city?
My number one first step when I go to a new city personally is to find a church, which generally takes several before I find one that I like. So I go on my church search and that opens a lot of doors that way. Also, I like to go to the rec center and look and see what classes are going on and where they are. And certainly, if you're moving for a family that is already established there, then you can kind of play off of their connections. But it's kind of important to remember you might want to keep a little bit of distance. Mm-hmm. You don't want to end up with all your friends or their friends.
Yes.
Have your separate circle. But do, you know, use their experience and play off what they already know. I also heard a tip that I'm excited to try is to find a place that you go to regularly. Like if you get breakfast, mm-hmm. I go to the same place every morning to get breakfast or coffee, or I go here to read in the afternoon, whatever it is, to go to the same one. I go to this gas station, I go to this grocery store, I go to whatever it is, the same one. And then you become a regular there and you see regulars there. And yeah. So you kind of form a little bit of, you can form connections that way as well.
Yeah. Even if it's a more surface level sense of community, that sense of community is important.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Something that I did when I moved to Chicago is taking classes in an area that you're interested in, like adult classes.
That's a great idea.
Is something. So for me, it was acting. And I met, in fact, a lot of Kathleen and Cassandra, who were on the podcast a little while ago, talking about theater. I met through a friend that I had taken a class with. So because I had taken a class with this guy named Chad, he introduced me to this whole other area of friends that I wouldn't have if I hadn't taken that class.
Right. And classes are actually a lot easier to find than you might think.
Yes.
You can Google knows just about everything. whatever you're interested in, or look at your community center or mm-hmm. rec center, or download the app Meetup.
Yes.
And put in your interest there. And that's gold.
Yes.
It will give you more opportunities than you can imagine to find people who are doing things that you're interested in. And that's so important when you get somewhere new, is to immediately go out and start meeting people and try to get that support group mm-hmm. going from the beginning, because you 100% will not adjust if you know only your nanny family. You just won't.
No.
And then come that 6-month contract that I know you put in your contract, you will be miserable and you will get out of there.
Right.
But it's not always easy. You know, like when we watch our littles play at the playground and it's like, well, why don't you go say your name? And it's hard making new friends. But
yes,
it's important and it's worth it.
Totally. And then also for kids classes or for nannying, almost every major city has a nanny group of their very own on Facebook. So looking for things like that, but then also finding the play places or the park that's close to you and just creating that routine for the kids as well.
Right.
Because if you're moving with your nanny family, so you're all moving at the same time and they're not established there, you have to keep in mind that those kids are in a new place and don't have any friends
Absolutely.
Yet and things like that. So modeling the behavior of like, we're going to go all try this together. And maybe we don't like the park this one time. We're going to give it a couple of chances. And then, you know, and then we can move on if we still don't like it, if it's not our favorite park.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
I think that's really important, of helping your nanny kids get out in a new space too, because that's so scary.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then also setting up play dates. That might be something that you do a little bit further down the road, because I think getting a feeling of for the city and stuff like that. And I wouldn't just do random meetups with strangers.
Probably not a good idea.
But, you know, from those Facebook groups, as you get to know people better, meeting in a really public place and playing for a little while, seeing if your nanny kids get along, because our career can be really isolating. And when you are in a new city, especially, I think. So finding some other nannies that have kids that your kids can play with, I think is a good long-term goal.
Right. I agree.
I think you're right, you hit the ground running.
You do have to be careful about that, but it is important. And you'll meet people, you know, if you're taking the kids to classes or whatever it is. But the more proactive you can be, the better you will feel about life in general. And so will your kids.
Right. As I say to my kids all the time, are you setting yourself up for success?
Yes.
So make sure as you are moving, you're setting yourself and the kids up for success.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, that was about all I had. Is there anything else that you can think of?
Well, I will just say the hardest part about this move, this particular move, was saying goodbye to my nanny family.
Yeah.
And it is so hard if you decide that this is an opportunity that you want to pursue. Just because you do have a family doesn't mean you can't take this opportunity.
Right.
You're in charge of your own life, mm-hmm. and you make your own decisions. But it's hard. I was with my nanny family for 2.5 years, and it was heartbreaking leaving.
I bet it was. I have had a nanny family move away for a job opportunity, and I still think about those littles all the time.
Yes, they just nestle themselves into your heart, and then there they are.
Yeah.
Forever. And it is hard. You know, you always do the thing, well, we'll keep in touch and we'll FaceTime and this, but it inevitably always falls to the wayside, and then you lose touch. And it's hard, especially with kids under 3, under 4, because, you know, they're such a big part of your life, but they're not going to remember you.
Right.
Not at all. And that thought right there is so devastating to me, mm-hmm. that I almost changed my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though I will say that I still keep in touch with my nannies, and I think they were still involved in my life, but they stopped regularly nannying me pretty early, and I still remember them.
Oh, good. So, good for you.
Yeah. And
keep in touch with your nannies.
Yeah.
Rule of thumb.
I'm hoping to have them on the podcast at some point.
Oh my gosh, that would be so fun.
Yeah, they're great. But that's so, so important. As you open the new chapter, to not hold on to the old chapter, but to honor that it was part of your life.
Absolutely. You can't just walk away and say, everything's fine. I'm moving on, because it's not. It's okay to be sad.
Yeah, to just remember the good things about that family.
Right.
Even if there are reasons that you left.
Yes, exactly.
To not just focus on the bad.
Right. And distance always makes those reasons seem a little smaller.
Yes.
So with FaceTime and video chatting now, it's such a blessing that it is pretty easy to keep in touch.
Yes.
So I'm really thankful for that. And actually, my story for the end is about when I was saying goodbye to my nanny family. I had gone over there to hang out and say goodbye and put the kids to bed. And when I first got there, my little 4-year-old said, "Andy, I'm going to miss you with all my heart." Mm-hmm. And so that set the tone, and I was crying the whole night. But I put the girls to bed, and, you know, can't go break down and cry because now I have to put the boys to bed. It was really hard. But after I put the boys to bed, one of the things that I say to my kids is, be safe, be smart, keep love in your heart. Aww. And the idea is that when they get older, and I won't be there, but when they get older, then I can say, be safe, be smart, and they know. They don't have to say it in front of their friends or whatever, but they know. And so it's like our little code. And so I put the boys to bed, and I was walking down the stairs, and the oldest jumps out of bed and runs down the hall and says, "Andrea, be safe, be smart, keep love in your heart."
That's so sweet.
Died. So, so sweet.
Yeah.
And it was really like a very lovely ending to that chapter. And it's like, I did put my stamp on them. Yeah. And they do remember things, and hopefully they will continue to remember the foundations that I, you know, tried to build with them and, you know, just remember our time together. But that was a really, really lovely, like, tied it all up in a nice, pretty bow.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so wonderful. Well, if you have a amazingly heart-touching story like that, or a fun or funny story of something that kids say, we are always looking for new stories to share at the end of the podcast. So if you have one, you can write it on the Facebook Chronicles of Nania, or you can email it in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Nania is spelled N-A-N-N-Y-A. And I will share it on the air. I will never share your nanny kids' names. In fact, don't even send them. I don't want to know. But I will share your name if you want me to, and as I read that story. So if you have one, please send it in. I would love to hear more adorable, heartwarming stories.
We all love to brag on our kids, so send them in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Andrea.
Thank you for having me back, Martha. It was lovely.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Chronicles of Nania is produced by Martha Reddick and Logan Nielsen. Artwork and logo by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.